followers of Jesus are called to encourage and to edify or build one another up because they are destined to obtain salvation.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, folks, I want you to know I've recently spoken with the deacons here, and we're going to be installing something in the sanctuary, I think, that's going to come in very handy. We're going to put it in all the seats. We're going to put seat belts in all of the seats here, right? So that way, you know, and occasionally there are going to be times, and today would be an example of one of those days when I'm going to ask you to buckle up those seat belts. So they've not been installed yet, but I want you to imagine that they are installed and just buckle up those seat belts, because we're going to be going about 100 miles an hour through the text here today. It's also what we might call one of those fire hose messages. Some of you have heard those before, where we just turn on the fire hose and it's all coming out of there. And how am I supposed to get a drink out of that? Well, because even with the fire hose, when all that water is coming out of there, there's always a little drip that's coming down the side of it. And maybe that little drip is what God has for you here today. So what we're going to do is we are finishing up in 1 Thessalonians today. Next week, we're going to move into 2 Thessalonians. But today, we're finishing up in 1 Thessalonians. And there's a lot in there. Actually, this passage today could be a whole sermon series in itself. And that's why I said I need you to buckle up your seatbelts and look for that drip on the fire hose today. Because don't try to take it all in. Don't try to say, well, how can I apply each and every... Well, if you want to try to apply each and every part of it, you're welcome to do that. But I'd ask you just to ask the Lord now to speak to your heart today. Is there something, what one thing, is there one thing that He wants you to take away from His Word here today in 1 Thessalonians then? As we said, we're going to be finishing up in 1 Thessalonians today, chapter 5, verses 11 through 29, or 28 rather, with the theme here of building one another up. And we see in this that followers of Jesus are called to encourage and to edify or build one another up because they are destined to obtain salvation then. Before we look at our text, a little context here. You know, Paul had received a good report from Timothy about the church in Thessalonica. He was concerned about them, how they were doing. And he had received a good report that they were standing firm in the faith and loving one another. He clarified some teaching about the return of Jesus Christ, clarified that those who had died in the church since Paul had been there and taught and left, there were some in the church who had died and they were fearful. Wait a minute, are they going to miss out on the second coming? Are they going to miss out on the blessing that is going to occur when the Lord Jesus returns? And of course, he gave them that instruction, that famous passage there saying that, no, they're not going to miss out. In fact, what? The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we who are alive will be caught up, raptured, caught up to meet the Lord in the air then. So no, they're not missing out on any of that. And so in light of that then, Paul goes on to give some further instruction about that, about how then we ought to live. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 11, where Paul says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Can you see why I said this is going to be one of those fire hose messages here? There's an awful lot in there, isn't there? A lot of things. So I don't want us to try to grab onto it all. Say, okay, how can I apply this? How can I apply this? How can I apply that? But rather say, Lord, what do you want me to take away from this? Is there something that you want to tell me today from this passage here? First off, we started off with that famous word, therefore. Okay, who knows what comes next?
What's the therefore, therefore,
right? So, therefore, well, I'd ask us to back up. If you have your text there, look here. Back up to verse 9. Paul has been teaching here about the day of the about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the catching up, and then the day of the Lord when he will bring judgment on all. But then how, as believers in Jesus, we have hope. Look at verse 9, where he says, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him." So what's the therefore, therefore? Why are we to therefore encourage and build one another up? Because you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are not destined for wrath. You are not going to suffer God's judgment. Now, some would say this wrath is, well, this is the judgment that comes at the end times when God judges the world, because the church is going to be taken out of the world, the pre-tribulation wrath, or a pre-tribulation rapture, I mean. And it could be referring to that. But it might also, though, be referring, though, to just God's judgment, God's eternal judgment, period. Either way, however you understand that, the fact is this. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are no longer subject to God's eternal and fearsome wrath and judgment. That you have been delivered from that. You know, it's been suggested, and I know I've been guilty a little of this myself in the past, so I'm trying to correct that a little bit more. Is sometimes we want to put the gospel message out there, and we want it to be, and rightly so, a very positive and hope-filled message, because it is a very positive and hope-filled message, right? But sometimes we tend to maybe downplay the bad news. We want to talk about the good news, and maybe we don't talk as much about the bad news, because it's painful to think about that. But the reality is, the biblical gospel, it's good news, not just because God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Okay, that's another matter, right, Frank? That's another issue. But no, but it's good news because in Jesus we've been delivered from God's eternal judgment, delivered from hell. And that's why it's good news. And so therefore, God has not destined us for wrath. He's not destined. We're not going to face that judgment. But what will we have instead? But rather, he has destined you, through your faith in Jesus, to obtain salvation in Christ. Final salvation. God has not just delivered you right here and right now, but he's going to see it through all the way to the end. You won't face that wrath of God. Instead, you will have deliverance in Jesus. And he who is faithful will do it. In fact, we just read that a minute ago. We're going to come back to it in a little bit.
So because you're not destined for wrath, but rather for final salvation, and because whether you are awake or asleep, that is alive or dead at his coming, we will all live with him. So whether you believed hundreds of years ago, or you are part of that generation that is alive when he comes, we will all do what? Live with him. So because we're not destined for wrath, because we have the hope of final salvation, because whether we are alive or dead at his coming, that is whether we have died or we are alive at his coming, we will all live with him. Therefore, do what? Encourage. Encourage one another. And build one another up. Now you might ask the question then, how? How can we encourage one another? How can we build one another up? And that's where I suggest this is where we turn on the fire hose. See, I don't think these are just random instructions that he gives. But I think these are ways precisely how we can encourage and build one another up. So we all say, yep, we need to do that. We need to encourage one another. Yep, we need to edify. We need to build one another up. Well, specifically, how can we go about doing that? And that's where you turn on the fire hose and you have that long list of ways that we can encourage and edify one another. How? How to encourage and edify one another? First is this. We can encourage and edify one another by respecting and loving our spiritual leaders. There we are. We can encourage and edify one another by respecting and loving spiritual leaders, by being at peace with one another, by admonishing the idle, and by encouraging the faint-hearted. Here's our first set. We're going to look at three sets of four commands. So we got 12 ways that you can encourage and edify one another here, right? Here's the first one. Respect and love spiritual leaders. Respect and love spiritual leaders. You know how encouraging that is to a spiritual leader to know that the people he is serving respect and love him? I can tell you it goes a long, long way to encourage and edify that individual. So here's what I have to say. Here's what I have to say to all of you people about this. You ready for this? Thank you. Thank you very much. Because you do a wonderful job. You do a fabulous job of that. And I want you to know that. Hardly a day or a week goes by that someone doesn't have an encouraging word, a word of thanks for what I do here among you. So I want to thank you that I know that you respect me and that you love me. But you know, this isn't just pastors. This is all of those who have, it's all the elders in the church. All the elders are pastors of the church. So I thank you for the way that you encourage me, that you respect me, that you show your love to me. Every now and then you get persons maybe who aren't as respectful and loving, but that's life, isn't it? But you know what happens is because, well, there's an expression, you've probably heard it, hurt people, right? You all know that. You've suffered that too. And that happens sometimes, no matter what your calling or what you do, but certainly in spiritual leadership, that happens too. But I want you to do the overwhelming response here from you is love and respect, and I appreciate that. But I'd like us just to take a moment to show some love and respect, not just for me in this position, but all of the elders here. So let's see, where's Matt? There's Matt right back there. There's Matt Hoffman. Matt, would you stand up for a minute? And where is Ralph? Oh, he's in children's church. And Jim Crocker, I think he's at home with Maureen right now, so he's not here. So, well, Matt, thank you. Matt, thank you for what you do. So. We also have some deacons here. If any deacons here, why don't you stand up right here now? I know. Come on, where are you? Oh, there you are. There we are. Come on, where are they? Ah, there they are. All right. There. Thank you. What you do? Okay, other board members. I know we have a treasurer here. We have a treasurer. Where's our clerk? Where's our board clerk? Is she? She's usually in the back there. Oh, there she is back there. Linda. Stephanie, thank you. Thank you for what you do. So thanks to all of you then. That's one way we can encourage one another is by showing that respect and love for those. It's tough to be in leadership some days. You know that? I don't know if you knew that, but it is. And so I appreciate that, and I know others do as well. But here is a great way that this can really encourage leadership, by the way. It can encourage all of us, but it can definitely encourage leadership. And that is to be at peace with one another. Be at peace with one another. Now, does that mean that we all see everything the same way? We all agree about everything. We all have the same preferences. And you already know the answer to that question, right? So no, we're not always going to agree about everything. We're not always going to have the same opinions, have the same perspectives or priorities. There are differences among us here, and sometimes pretty significant or important differences, right? Now, we should not have differences on the essentials of the faith. You know, that is what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay, we're united in that. But other things, we may have differences of opinion about things. There can be certain elements of doctrine that may be important, but like, for example, we've been talking about the second coming, and people have different opinions about exactly how all that is going to work out in the end with the millennium and all that. But is that something we need to fight about with one another? No. Sometimes we'll debate about the role of God's sovereignty and human freedom and human responsibility, different perspectives on that. Do we need to divide and fight over that? No, not those kinds of things. But we do need to be united in those essentials of the faith, who Jesus Christ is, that he's Son of God, that he's fully God, fully man, that he is our Savior, that we are saved by grace through faith in him alone. You know, these are the important things that we're united in, right? But there may be a host of other things we have different opinions about. There can even be different opinions about, musical choices or preferences. Is anybody surprised by that? You know, there may be differences about certain songs, even individual songs. Am I telling tales out of school here with that? No, I don't think so. I think we know this, right? So there can be differences about that. Might there be differences about, what projects are going around the church and when what gets done and all of that, and about what color a countertop is? Oh, whoops, am I telling tales out of school again? Okay. Folks, are these the things that we need to be at war with one another about?
No.
What? Be at peace with one another. Can encourage and build one another up by being at peace with one another. And by the way, this peace, we're actually, you know what a better way of saying it is a more biblical way of saying is maintain the peace with one another. See, because we already have the peace. Who is our peace? Christ, right? He has broken down the barriers and the walls of hostility, and he is our peace. So maintain the peace that we already have in Christ. Admonish the idle. We don't have a big problem with that in this church. We really don't. We've got some busy folks in this church. Now, we don't want busybodies. That's a message for November 25th, okay? But we have active people in this church that are putting their gifts and abilities to use. But for the church generally, A way that we encourage and build one another up as well. Use the abilities God has given you. Don't be lazy. Don't be idle. Be busy with the work of the kingdom. Encourage the faint-hearted. You know what? Some of us just need a little more encouragement than others, don't we? All of us need encouragement. All of us need a special dose of it from time to time. But you know what? Some of us tend to just need it a little more often than others. Why is that? Well, is it maybe because of certain circumstances, things are going on? It may just be because of personality differences. But whatever it is, what, encourage the faint-hearted. Those who are, well, they're more emotionally vulnerable to things that are going on in life and in this world or in their families, in the faith. Encourage them. Encourage and edify one another too by helping the weak. To go along with that, you know, some folks need a little more help than others. Some are just not as spiritually strong as others. And I don't know why that is, but again, we're different, aren't we? So help the weak. But for all, be patient. Be patient with all. The weak or the strong, the strong-hearted, the faint-hearted, be patient with all because we all need patience. You know, one of the things that has helped me to be patient with folks, to be patient with all, is just to stop and think for a moment. Think for a moment each day. Think about how God has been patient with you. I think about how God has been patient with me. And when we think about how God has been patient with us, I think that can help us to be patient with one another. Now, this doesn't mean, being patient doesn't mean there isn't a time for admonishment or calling someone. That's part of the life together in the body of Christ as well, right? But be patient. Be patient with one another. Accept our differences. Be quick to forgive. And speaking of forgiveness, don't repay evil with evil. Don't repay evil with evil. You know, sometimes we do things that are disrespectful, insensitive, or maybe even sinful, right? So you pay it back. That's how life works in the church, right? Pay it back. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's what that verse means, right? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That means that if someone offends you, you offend them back, right? That's what that verse means. No, it isn't what that means. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth means, well, we have an expression for it in our society. We'd call it make the punishment fit the crime. It's about a justice system, and that you know, if someone does a minor thing, the punishment is minor. If someone does a major thing, the punishment is major. But what the people were doing in Jesus' day is they were taking that principle and they were saying, I'm going to get you back. It would come to this personal level of repaying every little insult in that. So Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, eye for eye, but I say to you, what? Turn the other cheek. It means what? Let little things go. Let little things go, is what he's saying. Don't repay evil with evil, but rather seek to do good. You know, one of the best ways that we can, we've been talking about hatred and evil in our land here. But you know, one of the best ways that we can respond to that or overcome it is with good, was to pray, and to do good. Seek to do good. Those are some outer actions. Talks a little bit about some inner attitudes here now. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. This does not mean that we are rejoicing and feeling happy and ecstatic all the time. No matter what's going on in our lives, we are thrilled to get that troubling diagnosis from the doctor. No, we're not. we go through grief and pain and sorrow, but yet we can rejoice even in it. Why? We don't rejoice because of painful circumstances. We rejoice in painful circumstances, meaning that we rejoice that as there's a settled conviction that ultimately all is well. Why? Because God is with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. God is working for good, even in painful things. And we rejoice because we have hope. We have the hope of final and full deliverance. And because of that, we're not rejoicing at difficult and painful circumstances. We're rejoicing in painful circumstances because God is with us, because God is working for good, because we have hope. We're told to pray without ceasing. Contrary to what you may hear, this does not mean you go through life constantly mumbling every second of the day a prayer. I would suggest it also does not mean, well, some say, well, we're always in an attitude of prayer. I'm not sure I've ever really understood exactly what that means, okay? Being quick to go to prayer, that's good, that's fine, but is that what the text means? No, I think what the text is saying when it says pray without ceasing, it means don't quit praying. Don't get discouraged, don't give up, but be consistent and persistent in prayer. Consistent and persistent. Pray without ceasing. Don't quit. Consistency and persistency. And then we're told also to give thanks in all circumstances. There's another one. We don't give thanks for all circumstances. We give thanks in all circumstances. There's more I could say about that, but I'll just tell you this. We're going to circle back around to this on November 18th. Why November 18th? Because that's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So hold the thought on giving thanks in all circumstances. We're coming back to that one, and we're going to focus on that one right before Thanksgiving. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. How can we quench the Spirit? To quench the Spirit is the imagery here is of the Spirit of being like a fire, and we quench him like throwing water on the fire, putting out. Another way you might phrase this is saying, don't put out the Spirit's fire. See, the Holy Spirit is at work in you. He's in work in me. He's at work in this church body. How might we quench the Spirit? How might we put the fire of the Spirit out in our lives or in this church body? Well, there's all kinds of ways we might put that fire out. Through our sin, through our failure to act on His leading and direction, His command, through our failure to respond to His promptings, our failure to carry out what He has clearly revealed in His Word. So we can quench we can put out the fire of the Spirit by doing things by not cooperating with Him, either through our sin or our failure to, either through the evil things we do, or through our failure to carry out the good things, the righteous things that He's told us to do, right? We quench the Spirit in that way. Another way we quench the Spirit it's a sin. It's disunity in the body. We quench the work of the Spirit among us through disunity in the body. So don't quench the Spirit. And then we're also told, do not despise prophecies. Do not despise prophecies. Well, what did that mean then? There were prophecies that before they had the written New Testament the way we do, that sometimes that the Spirit would speak prophetically through individuals. It said, look, don't despise them. Now, we are told to be careful with them, to be wise about them, to test them with what they already knew in the Scriptures. Well, we have the Word of God here now. And I think in our day, I think that prophecy is still given, not in the sense of revelation, but prophecy is given even today when I think the Spirit gives utterance to people to speak authoritatively into situations based on the truth of the Word of God. I think that's speaking prophetically today. So don't despise those things, but rather hold fast to what is good, abstain from evil, rest in God's faithfulness and grace. I love this, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will maybe do it. He will surely do it. Isn't that wonderful news? Boy, that's encouraging. That's edifying, isn't it? God will begin the work of sanctification he's already begun in you. He has made you blameless in Jesus Christ. He has made you blameless in Jesus Christ. He is faithful. He will do it. I am so glad that my salvation doesn't depend on me. I am so glad that the completion or the culmination of my salvation doesn't depend on me. Now, I'm not saying I'm not responsible before God for what I do. I am. But in the end, the only reason my salvation is going to come to final fruition, what we call glorification, when we are standing holy and blameless before Him in resurrected bodies, that is God's power and God's grace and God's faithfulness that will bring that. Amen to that, huh? And He will surely do it. Not maybe. Not hopefully. Well, actually, He will hopefully do it, biblically speaking, but I don't want to go down that road right now. But He will surely do it. That is biblical hope, is surely, right? So pray for us, he says, verse 25. Pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. We don't do that today. That's all right, but we have our version of it. You know what our version of a holy kiss is? Their culture, actually in still countries today, Latin America, Europe, they still do this, what, the little kiss on the cheek, that kind of thing. Well, that's what this was. We don't do that in our culture, but you know what we do? We might, what, shake a hand, give a little hug. It's a way of expressing love and acceptance of one another. Another way we can encourage and edify one another is sharing this with one another. Look, isn't it interesting? Verse 27, he says, I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. We encourage and edify by sharing this word with others. And finally then, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Grace be with you. Who is glad here today that you have the grace of the Lord Jesus with you? So what? Well, there was the fire hose. I hope the Spirit touched your heart on something there today. Because followers of Jesus are called to encourage and edify one another because they are destined to obtain salvation. So what are we to do with it? Well, it's very simple. I just say this. Just do it. Obey it. Encourage and edify one another. What did the Spirit tell you today? Do it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, there have been many things for us to consider here today. I would pray, Lord, that you would help us to focus in on something you want us to do today, this week, that we might respond with faith and obedience to your word today. Thank you, Lord, that we have hope, that we are not destined for wrath, but that we are destined to obtain salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you that we already have it in him, and thank you that he will surely do it, that he will bring it to its completion. Thank you, Lord, for that hope. May that encourage each one of us here today. Lord, would you build your church here? Continue to build your church here. We pray that you would be well pleased in this church, that we would be salt and light to this community, and that you would do this all for your name's sake. And it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message.
For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.